This is Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
JBL Tour Pro 3 earbuds are for those who don't conform to the standard.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get into some touchscreen technology, how about the smart charging case, clear sound? These are not standard things. You're only going to get them with the JBL Tour Pro 3, baby.
And I love the sound of JBL when it goes... These earbuds are packed with innovation because you can't stand out by following others.
Touchscreen smart charging case for one-touch control, instant EQ customization, true adaptive noise canceling, and the one-of-a-kind audio transmitter, which can plug and play with everything from game consoles to in-flight entertainment. What more could you want? First doesn't follow. Grab a pair at JBL.com.
CBS Ion World, I'm John Bashley. 1984, it's a wonderful story. I recommend it to everyone young enough not to have read it. However, all the rest of us understand that George Orwell was a pseudonym. His real name was Eric Blair, and he was writing in the 1940s, and it's nowhere near as clever as Animal Farm. But it stays with us because it's easy to produce on television or in the movies. This concept of Big Brother always watching you and having no freedom whatsoever in perpetual war. It's very attractive. It satisfies everybody's first romantic idea of dictatorship. I welcome Peter Berkowitz of the Hoover Institution, writing recently in Real Clear Politics about an article that appears by Ron Radush and Gabriel Schoenfeld about what will happen when and if the former president becomes president again. The word is dictatorship, and the dictatorship that is entertained reminds me immediately of 1984, which is why I started with that example. Peter, a very good evening to you. The quote here that is most revelatory in order to demonstrate that we're headed towards a dictatorship under the former president, something like a Big Brother, is that you are making the observation that the Pentagon or the federal bureaucracy, all of it together, is progressive. It's progressive. And that is found to be controversial? That is, your critics in the Bulwark doubt you? Good evening to you, Peter.
Good evening, John. Yes, not only do they doubt me, they snidely reproach me for grotesquely distorting the reality of the federal bureaucracy. They even ask snarkily whether I've ever visited the Pentagon. I reply yes and wonder whether they've ever visited. Let's just take the smaller question, Pentagon, because it's instructive. I think my critics, first of all, confuse two matters. They confuse rank-and-file military with what we were talking about, the bureaucracy at the Pentagon. Little doubt that the rank-and-file military leans right. But as I pointed out in the piece, our military is well-schooled in the law of armed conflict. They know, they've deeply internalized, that it is unlawful for them to obey an unlawful order. They would get a dictatorship, would get no support from rank-and-file military. But to address their point specifically, the Pentagon bureaucracy, the top echelon of the Pentagon bureaucracy has been pushing a diversity, equity, and inclusion agenda. In other words, demanding that the Pentagon bureaucracy discriminate on the basis of race to advance progressive ends. And just below the top echelon, everybody else, these are men and women who live in the Maryland suburbs of D.C. and the North Virginia suburbs of D.C. And as someone I know well on Capitol Hill, he's a national security advisor, congressional national security advisor, said to me when I asked him about whether it was possible that the bureaucracy in the Pentagon might support a Trump dictatorship, he replied to me, "That's about as likely as the parental board of Georgetown Day School supporting a presidential a Trumpian dictatorship." So so much for the idea that that the Pentagon bureaucracy does not lean left of center.
Now, what sets this up is this fairy tale that's been going on for several years, and you've served in the Trump administration, so you heard it now and again when you weren't extremely busy at the State Department, that for some reason The former president is going to achieve a dictatorship that no one else has ever achieved. Mm-hmm. And there's no historical example offered. I've puzzled about this for years. I always go to history to make sure that I cannot generalize, that you have to be very specific about details. But it appears that there is remaining a doubt that a doubt in the bureaucracy in Washington, a doubt in the Constitution. Is that correct, Peter? People doubt that the Constitution works.
The forecast of a dictatorship very much gives expression to distrust of both the Constitution and the people. But if I could for just a moment underscore your point about history, it's not just that America provides no examples of bending the dictatorship, bending the Constitution, the White House to dictatorship. It's that modern history provides no such example. I actually invited my interlocutors to provide an example from history in which somebody with, let's say for the moment, dictatorial proclivities, that's their word, managed to institute a dictatorship without the support of the military, without the support of business and big corporations, without the support of the universities and the media and the federal bureaucracy. Nobody has been able to come up with an example without those major institutions outside of government and the federal and the bureaucracy with inside of government. So history furnishes no support for this idea that one man could bend everything to his will over the objections. And by the way, all these institutions would object to any efforts to institute dictatorship. Those institutions, again, being the military, the media, entertainment world, universities, and big business.
I go to the Real Clear Politics piece that Peter has published because of some details here. Ron Radish and Gabriel Schoenfeld published Flight 93, Election Anti-Trumpers Imperil the Rule of Law. That's the title. Peter also points to a Washington Post columnist, Robert Kagan. These are extremely distinguished men who write routinely through their lives. Kagan's is entitled, "A Trump Dictatorship is Increasingly Inevitable. We Should Stop Pretending." We're not pretending. We're saying that this is fiction. This is make-believe. And it was exciting when it was in 1984. I can give us other examples because it's called dystopian romance. They certainly are aware of that, Peter. What makes them override their sense of proportion in how literature works?
I can only speculate here. Let's begin with this speculation. They understand. They understood already in 2016 when Trump won the nomination that one of his principal targets was them. That is, we're talking about men and women who are part of the Republican elite. And Trump made clear, in fact, I believe he was probably the first Republican to run not merely against Democratic Party elites, but also against Republican Party elites, to the entire elite establishment. And many of these anti-Trumper intellectuals, and I'm not talking about Democrats, we're talking about people who have almost certainly voted Republican in the past and have been associated with George W. Bush. They turned because they understood themselves to be a target. Now, we should also immediately add that Donald Trump himself is a target-rich environment. Much of his rhetoric is indefensible. Reasonable people can disagree with many of his policies. He behaved extremely badly in the run-up to January 6th and on January 6th. So the point is not that Trump is cannot be or should not be criticized in tough terms. But it is, I believe, resentment at being attacked and a sense of being pushed out of the top echelons of the party that strengthens this rage against Trump and this reaching for arguments that are hard to justify on the basis of what we know from history and the structure of American constitutional government.
Is there anything we can say to calm down these unhappy people?
Excellent question. You know, I myself tried to write in restrained tones, not throwback insults when I was insulted, and stand for the proposition that we still are all Americans here, and we must embrace the notion of honorable disagreement and not insist that our opponents stand for dictatorship.
Dictatorship is the word that they're stuck on with Donald Trump. It doesn't come to mind. The dictatorship suggests organization, scrupulousness.
Yes. Wait, yes.
None of that is pertained in the first administration. And under the unlikely possibility that there's a second administration, do you think it's going to become careful and suddenly list itself as an admirable organization that is efficient? Is that possible, Peter?
John, I'm reminded of a statement that I believe is attributed to Oscar Wilde. The trouble with socialism is that it takes too many evenings. The trouble with dictatorship would be for Donald Trump, certainly based upon the first administration, is it takes too many evenings. It's a lot of work, a lot of organization to make it happen. You need not only, not only the whole federal bureaucracy on your side, but all the rest. And as George Will pointed out a couple of weeks ago in response to these arguments, we're talking about a president who could barely manage to build, a few tens of miles of his beloved wall because he was thwarted for 4 years by the federal bureaucracy. So I can imagine all sorts of problems, difficulties, foolishness, even overreaching in a Trump administration. What I have trouble envisaging is Donald Trump instituting dictatorship.
Peter Berkowitz, the Hoover Institution, writing at Real Clear Politics. I'm John Mash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
We all deserve some yay in our day. So say hello to Hello. Hello makes oral and personal care products that add wonder to your routine, like a toothpaste that makes brushing fun for kids. It's called Unicorn Sparkle Toothpaste. It tastes like rainbows and sunshine, works brilliantly, and it's fun. So it's pretty much magic. And for the adults, Hello Anti-Plaque and Whitening Toothpaste, which is just as good without the unicorns. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.
Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.